Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever. Brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His mercy endures forever. And gave their heritage, land as a heritage, for His mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His mercy endures forever. Remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Who give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 136, you reflect upon every verse that we read, is a 26-verse salute to the forever mercies of God. Every verse, give thanks, this or that, for God's mercy endures forever. And attributes of God are paraded forth as those evidences that the mercy of God endures forever. And then the activities of God are displayed wonderfully in this Psalm 136 as those which illustrate magnificently and wonderfully the mercy of God that endures forever. And the only proper fitting response is to give thanks. And that's the call of this whole psalm. Because God is God. And because God does this and that. And because God's mercies endure forever. Give thanks. We want to give thanks today. We want to give thanks always. We join with a nation in a national, American citizenship sort of way, in giving thanks this day for all that God has done for us, a nation. He's given us liberties and peace, relative peace in the land. Given us this prosperity for which we gave thanks in the prayer. Given us justice and given us outlines of how a Christian sort of society should look in these latter days. With all the foibles and all of that, there's still something here which the heathen, the completely heathen lands do not enjoy. We're thankful for that. And we would also celebrate in the national pastimes and all of the things of Thanksgiving, like turkeys and all the fixins, and even football, and yes, even some of us, I suppose, would be thankful for Black Fridays. So we have all of these reasons to give thanks, but of course, as God's people, we do want, don't we, that our Thanksgiving not only be a happy Thanksgiving, but it be a holy Thanksgiving. Something different. Something wonderfully different. It characterizes our day not only, but our whole life. And so we're going to think about that in this sermon, meditate upon that, this holy Thanksgiving for the mercy of God that endures forever. And we want to see that we are thankful to God, and we ought to be thankful to God for the mercy of the salvation that endures forever. So I have 3 points here. I will just meditate with you upon them, and I want us all to take them home for a holy and happy Thanksgiving. First, mercy. Second, holy. Third, happy. Mercy is celebrated here, divine mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Or, forever His mercy. That's the literal Hebrew translation. Forever leads the way, and then His mercy. His mercy endures forever, a faithful translation. But that's celebrated over and over again. God's mercy, not the mercies of a government of this land, the mercies that the government thinks to show to certain people in need by maybe robbing the rich and feeding the poor that way, the mercies that don't come with the word of God that can truly help. No, we're on a much higher plane here when we consider the divine mercies. Mercies to help the helpless. That's what mercy is. If you consider all of the ways that the Bible shows God's favor, His love, His grace, His mercy. Mercy is under the subheading, under the heading of love, the umbrella of love, which is love shown to the helpless. That's what mercy or pity is. Like when we help our little ones and when we bring them out of a hole or help them in their need. That's the idea of mercy, the tender love the Father has to His helpless children. And displayed is the psalmist keen on saying in especially 2 spheres, this mercy of God. First of all, the sphere of creation. And you see that in verse 4 and following, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. And to Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures for heavens to forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. For Him who made the great lights, for His mercy endures forever, and so on. And then down to verse 25, you have this: God gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Now think of that. Mercy of God is set forth here as something to celebrate and be thankful for in His creation. I don't often think of God creating everything and making the sun and the moon and the stars as an act of mercy. But the Bible says that. And God's thoughts are not my thoughts or your thoughts. There's mercy, some kind of help. Well, yes, creative help in making things that could not make themselves, and setting suns and stars in places that they could not set themselves. There's mercy is here. There's help so that the creation has existence and then is provided for. So from great things like sun and moon and stars and so on, God says, I also do not think it beneath me to give food, little bits of food, to all flesh in my mercy. There's help here to us helpless ones. It reminds us, doesn't it, of how little we are and that we cannot sustain even our life. And children, as you take a bite of turkey today, or two, or ham, or whatever you like, or whatever is on your table, remember this. It's mercy that we can eat and drink, that we have not only these many gifts of this life, but that we can live, that we can even live by the food we take in. Notice that the psalmist is not celebrating a creation that kind of goes by itself. He's celebrating a creation that is mercified, if I can coin a strange term. But it's empowered by God, this food, by His mercy, to give us life. Without it, you couldn't even live. You could be full in your stomach, but it wouldn't serve your life. That's the more than an impression I get from these texts, but from the whole Word of God. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we live. Not by flesh and bread alone, but by the Word of God, the mercy of God. Well, think of that. And that's why, you see, we pray. And children, you know that. Not just a mere custom. And we pray before meals or after meals, whatever is our custom here. But when we're brought to the table, to the need of mercy, it's made aware to us, isn't it, by these daily gifts we have. And the daily strength, the breath, cannot breathe another breath without the mercy of God. Now, I go quickly on because the psalmist does in most of the psalm to celebrate the mercies that God gave to Israel. In verse 10 and following, we read of that wonderful history that God is showing here to Israel to remind them of what He's done for them as this peculiar people. Not just a national sort of people who has, you know, great blessings as a nation, but this is the nation of God. God reminds us of this in His Word. To Him, give thanks to Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And on, you can read that. The psalmist rehearses Israel's beginning. It doesn't go really back to the very beginning. That would have been the promise to Abraham. But the beginning in Egypt, when she was, for 400 years, this outcast nation, and then under bondage increasingly, and really looking as if it were not the people of God, in her own sins too. She learned the way of the Egyptians. And so, mercy was that God brought them out, reminded them through the mediation of Moses and the word of redemption that God was still faithful. He's the I Am that I Am, and His mercy endures forever. And then, of course, we know He divided the Red Sea, and He cared for them in the wilderness. What a merciful God, and that's what's celebrated here. He cared for them to lead them into the promised land and wiping out the kings, the famous ones, the Ogs and the Sihons and so on, to show that kings fall before the King of Kings. And His mercy, powerful mercy, to give deliverance and victory to the people of God. There it is. For the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Mercy, help to the helpless, help to the sinful people to make them God's own. Mercy to give them life, and life abundant in the fellowship of God. And this is all about this. Jesus, isn't it? The Bible is the Word of Jesus, and the Old Testament people of God and all of the mercies of God towards them is a picture of God showing mercy to us in the fullness of time. And the Son of God, eternally enjoying the glory of the Eternal Father, one with Him, co-substantial, co-equal in virtue and might and so on, He comes down. Down to help us. That's the way of mercy. Children, that's the way. God stooping down. And God showing just how much He loves us. His Son exposed to sin and sinful men, and especially exposed to the wrath of God. Because the Son comes, you know, as the wrath of God bearer, the sin bearer who will be exposed on our behalf to wrath we couldn't endure. That's mercy. And Jesus dies for us. It's mercy. That's what it's all about. It's help to the helpless sinner. It's this kindness of God to those in the pits of depravity, to those in the jail and the sentence writ large against them. According to the law of God itself was guilty one. And God says, I love you so much, I'll make my son the guilty one. And all of his righteousness will be transferred from him to you. And all of your unrighteousness are transferred from you to him. And all the sin is taken away. Mercy. When the Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. Mercy. When the redemption that's accomplished over there and then at Calvary and Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem's camp long ago, is applied to our account when the Spirit comes and visits us and gives us the life that was earned, the life abundant, the life in the heart. We know that, beloved. You know that? Redemption accomplished and applied. Yours. You know, because of that, all that creation that God gives in mercy is truly made to be mercies for us. As Romans tells us that he who delivered up his only son for us, how shall he not also freely with him give us all things? That's what we look at, think about on Thanksgiving Day. The mercies of God giving us Jesus and now everything to serve that life in Jesus. Even the bad things. Even the bad things. That's what Paul says in Romans 8. All things freely given. Why? As servants of the love of God. As servants of our faith, children, young people, older ones, as servants of our believing and growing in the knowledge of him. As servants of us so that even when someone's taken away, or might be very soon, we don't know, there's going to be this believing in God anyway, that though he slay me even, I'll praise him. This believing in God whose love is sufficient, whose love doesn't fall short, whose mercy doesn't stop when we get hurt. For some of us, that's when mercy starts. Because we're woken up by the hurt and made to fly to Jesus, the only Savior, from the greatest evil, sin. So, freely gives us all things and all the abundant things so that we can have the glad heart and enjoy the good things and all the abundance of this life without becoming piggy and carnal and thankless. That's mercy, holy. And I'm talking here about holy thanks. First thing, God-centered. Look at this. Psalm 136. And we're just going through the text here and seeing the salient, the important features. It's all about God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's Jehovah God. That's Yahweh, the I am that I am, whose mercy, therefore, is just like the I am that I am. It doesn't change. He's faithful. For he is good, yes, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. This is something that America misses, of course. I was talking with an elder just before the service. Might be good one day to read a proclamation of thanksgiving that the presidents give every year. But you'd wonder, though, how faithful is the proclamation of a president whose Christianity is suspect or even flagrantly to be denied? Why would we want to read a proclamation like that? But be that as it may, there have been some good ones, national proclamations in America of thanksgiving. I mean, God-centered. That's the only good kind of proclamation you can give. Whether you're a government official, a father in the house, or a minister, or whatever else leads. A proclamation that says, we set aside this day because there's something more than food. There's something more than our own resources, and American spunk that brings stuff out of the ground and into our homes. He's called God. He's called God. That was the God of our fathers, many of whom were Christian. And so, we want to be distinguished, don't we, from all kind of godless thanks, which is no thanks at all. But notice how the text points Israel to that direction, to that God. Give thanks to the Lord, your Savior, your God, the God of promise. Give thanks to God, the God of gods, your Creator. And that means He's the only Creator. He's the only provider. He's the only one. When you go over the river, through the woods, into grandmother's house. There's not a God of the river and the woods and grandma's house. Three different gods. Only one. Only one. That's what this text is saying. Only one Savior. Lord of lords. King of kings. Well, that's God in Jesus Christ revealed. You see the importance of being focused on God in this pluralistic day and age. And everybody wants together to come together for world peace, and so everybody can be fed good things in themselves. But the good thanks, if it be holy, is to God alone. But then this, I quickly want to say this. This is to God from us personally. I don't know if you pay attention to all the details of the Word of God. I think we should more and more. But if you look at this closely, all 26 verses, you'll find that very few of them speak personally, that is, from persons to God. They call for a national thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks, and so on, to Him alone, and so on. But the personal aspect of this psalm is not forgotten on the psalmist or on any of God's people. It ought not to be forgotten on us. Look at verse 23. After speaking of God's blessings to Israel in general, the psalmist makes it personal. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever. That is so important for us. This is not a church, nation, generalized thing which is being called for here in itself. But it is this thing, this thanksgiving that is being celebrated and which is being urged upon us that begins in hearts. Your heart and mine, not just mom's and dad's hearts either. Or ministers' hearts, but in our hearts. The only way there can be holy thanksgiving, the only way that going to church or eating and drinking and giving a prayer and so on can be holy, when there's holy hearts. Yours. Yours. Ever wonder sometimes how holy we are? We ought to. We're very unholy, naturally. There's something I think that will be very helpful to us as we consider this day, though. Holy thanks. Exactly because this psalm, or versions of it, was sung for Israel and was composed for Israel or something, for their temple worship. And studying this passage, came upon no less than three places where the refrain, for His mercy endures forever, and give thanks to God for His mercy endures forever, is found. And those were found in the temple worship. I want to just read some passages here. First Chronicles 16:41, for example. In the tabernacle of the Lord at Gibeon, when David was leading the people into worship, with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord. It was a chosen priesthood. And in those days, they would be the chosen ones to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. Sounds like Psalm 136 in miniature. And you get the impression there, the distinct impression, that this is the psalm of the temple. Give thanks to the Lord for His mercy endures forever. But then you find this further in the dedication of the temple of Solomon. In 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13, you have trumpeters and singers who were as one to make sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." 2 Chronicles 5:13. And then just one other passage, 2 Chronicles 7:1-3, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. This is the dedication of the temple. The priest could not enter the house of the Lord. When all the children saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Another Psalm 136, another salute to the mercy of the Lord that endures forever. And I believe, based on these words and based on the psalm, the Psalm 136, this amplification of this song of thanks for the mercy of the Lord that endures forever, that what the psalmist is teaching is that true thanks to God, whose mercy endures forever, is only to be known in the temple of God. That is, in the presence of God. So we have this thanks. And yes, we say God must be the center of it. The only way God can be the center of it is in the temple, in connection with the offerings, by this priesthood that's chosen, according to this ordination of God and according to this working of God in the people, to sing in this presence of God. Now, what does all this mean for us? I want to be more than abstract here, of course. I think it simply means Jesus is everything. I believe it means, thus saith the Lord, it means Jesus is everything if our thanks is proper and holy. Jesus is everything. How can we go to God? How can we confess God? How do we know He's Lord of Lords? What is thanks all about if not for that Son of God broken for us? If not for Him giving His body to be broken and then eaten, and His blood to be poured out and then drunk? Thanksgiving centered the holy presence of God through Christ, through declaring Him, as we do here, through believing, and through making this a conscious choice of ours. Now, I know we're reformed. God chose us. Look at those priests. They're chosen. But holy thanks is our responding to the giver by choosing to give thanks, by responding to the call and saying, I hear, I've been given unto, I will give thanks. You see, that's what life is all. God doesn't force thanks upon a people. He makes them willing in the day of His power. And that's what He does for us. He makes us willing in the day of His power. He calls us and we hear and we repent of our sins. We're tired of this. Christ second, thanks second, me and turkey and football and whatever first, instead of God even. Oh, and this is needed. Final point here. This is so needed. This drawing near to God in Christ. And we're not good at this, are we? We're like the heathen who are described in Romans 1. One of the principal ways they show their heathenism, their not being with God, is that they don't give thanks. Romans 1:21. They receive good gifts and they glorify not the Creator but the creature. They turn it all on its head. We glorify our productivity. We glorify the human potential. We glorify man. We glorify America. We're thankful for one another. That's heathenism. And we exist in this world. Again, the good gifts of life are great. But God is the great creator. We're just like the carnal Corinthians. Paul says you're carnal. With a name Christian, yet we're so earthly. And so our thanksgivings and everyday don't really distinguish us as Christians anymore. Even our services. We're like the Athenians who are always desiring some novelty. We want something new. You can't be thankful and happy at the same time, the Athenian in us says, because, well, Christ is the same old, same old. And the gospel is the same old, same old. And how can we be satisfied with that? That's our nature. So we need mercy. And we need this. And this is what I want to emphasize in this last point about happy thanks. We need mercy to endure forever. Or we're done, aren't we? We're so sinful. Holy, real thanks. Holy thanks centered in Jesus Christ. You miss it. They need to be thankful. We're better at that. We need mercy, don't we? Every day. We're just like that Pharisee. Goes into the temple even. Goes into church and says, imagine the audacity. I thank you, Father, or whoever he said, that I'm not like that other guy over there. That other guy over there, well, you know about him, don't you? He's the guy saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And he beat his breast. The other guy was thanking God that he had made him pretty good. Better than others. You know the real thankful person, don't you? You know the real merciful or one who appreciated the mercy of God. That was that sinner, that publican. May it be us. This Thanksgiving Day. But that's holiness, isn't it? That's really getting it. We come on our knees and we say, Lord, we don't deserve it. Thanks be to Thee for mercy in the first place, and mercy tomorrow, and mercy the next day, and ministerial mercy, and mercy for elders, and mercy for deacons, and mercy for children, and mercy for parents, and mercy for single people, and mercy for those who are hurting. Thanks be to God. We need it every day. Thanks, Lord. Thanks. Thanks for mercy for the congregation that you've given. Abundant. For the place where we can worship God. For the joy. Yes. And this is the final point. For the happiness that we can have. Knowing the God whose mercy endures forever. It's joy. You might have noticed that as we skimmed over a couple of the verses in Chronicles. There was joy in that temple. There was joy. There was cymbals and there was harps and these expressions of the fullness of a heart that would show itself in sound and in a congregation which shows itself in song and smiles and slaps on the back and holy kisses and coming to the side of people and encouraging them. That's the kind of thanks that God's Spirit works of a people who knows the mercies of the Lord that endures forever. A happy, happy, happy and joyful people. Yes. Even when the Lord takes away. And when He gives, in all things, because God sends them in mercy. So, may the thanks go on. And dare say, when the thanks goes on that we're called to give here, holy and happy thanks, God-centered, give me something simply awesome that happens. You look at those passages in Chronicles at the very beginning of tabernacle and temple worship. You find that as they're giving thanks and as they're offering the offerings and as they're meeting with God and so on, God's cloud comes and it overshadows the place. So much so that they had to stop. They couldn't even see. They had to stop ministering. They had to stop and be quiet. That is what happens with us. That's the telltale sign that God is visiting with you in mercy and He is leading you in the proper way of thanks. When all of a sudden, or maybe by and by, you're giving thanks, you're living the Christian life, God comes to you and says, now be quiet. Be quiet. Because I'm going to bless you in this way too. When in all your thanks, you have to just fall down and receive again and again. So in all our giving of thanks, we're led to remember the God who gives us to give thanks. That's how God works. That's how God leads. And I think that's heaven. We give thanks, we praise the Lord, and He gives us to be quiet. He gives us to receive. He gives us to be in awe over and over again. And then we start up again and we give thanks. And it's this glorious, glorious, continuous activity. Because God is good and His mercy endures forever. May you know that and be blessed in that, dear congregation, people of the Lord, give thanks to God for His mercy endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You. You bless us. You speak to us. You calm our souls. You give us to give thanks. You enlighten our minds. You turn our hearts toward heaven, even as presently we turn our hearts toward home. We pray, Father, in all our drinking, all our eating, may celebrate the Savior. Celebrate mercies in all the things of life, the good and the bad, mercies that endure, and all the things don't endure, mercies that endure forever. Thanks for speaking to us, giving us to be holy and happy, full of joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen.